Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show, and I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we had a week this week that nobody would ever believe. It was a gunfight at the OK Corral. Whirlpool had partnership with the NAACP, and the NAACP had partnership with Whirlpool. They partnership to overthrow the Twin City branch and to alter the Reverend Edward Pinckney. Now, we always hear about corporations taking money from these corporations. Well, now I can actually say it and confirm it that this is what they've been doing. Whirlpool representative met with the state president of the NAACP, Yvonne White. Whirlpool informed the NAACP that we would like to support the NAACP, but we will not support them or support you under Reverend Pinckney leadership. He must go. And here's what they did. Yvonne White, the president of the NAACP, spread it a lie about what was going on in the city of Benton Harbor with the chapter. She claimed that the Benton Harbor chapter did not have a meeting for 6 months, and we have two meetings every single month. Never missed a month. So I don't know whether she went to the national office with that lie or whatever. Then she came back after she discovered that we've been having meetings every month. She came back and said that we had an election in an off year, which she is partially correct. We had our 2010 election because we just came into existence in 2009, but we wasn't sure whether we were supposed to have an election in 2010 or not because we had just had one in 2009. So what she said, because we didn't have the election in 2010, that we are no longer an existing organization. She had to come up with some kind of excuse in order to try to get rid of this branch in favor of Whirlpool and get that Whirlpool money. Now, here's the thing. Someone is saying, now I don't know how true it is. I got a call from Detroit. They said that Whirlpool paid them $50,000 to eliminate me. I can't tell you whether it's true or false. It's secondhand information. But they said that Whirlpool paid the NAACP $50,000 to get rid of the Twin City chapter of the NAACP. I can't confirm it, but I do know the person who called. So if there are any questions about that, we can definitely go there. But I tell you, it's been a shootout here. They set up an election, and they say that Reverend Pinckney could not even participate in the election because they knew if I participated that I would win. This thing is ugly. This thing is bad. Never seen anything like this before. But Whirlpool, the NAACP, have merged. And what we're going to do at 5:30, we're going to burn our NAACP membership card. I got a commitment from people all over the country, Chicago, Shreveport, California, Colorado, every place that you could think of, they're going to burn their cards, and they're no longer going to be a member of the NAACP. So it's 5:30. I want y'all to check your watches. Regardless who we're talking, at 5:30, we are going to burn our NAACP membership card, and they are not going to renew their cards They're not going to deal with the NAACP no more, and we're going to move on. So let's get ready to think about what we're going to do. But in the meantime, let's listen to a little Martin Luther King.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted. Every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope.
Hello?
With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day. This will be the day when all of God's children will be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, tears of thee. Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state in every city. We will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I was just telling people how the NAACP and Whirlpool Corporation had became partners to destroy the Twin City branch of the NAACP. I tell you, this has never been actually evidence like we have today in reference to the NAACP. The NAACP has lost their way. They have strayed way off course from their own vision. The nation's oldest civil rights organization is on the brink of extinction, defeated by its inability to evolve, a fact that no amount of rhetoric will be able to conceal. The NAACP has lost its way and is dying. The NAACP is dead. The NAACP has lost its focus. The question is the NAACP still relevant? That's the question. It is time to expose the national and state NAACP for who they really are. We would like to thank Faye Anderson and Dr. Boris Watkins for exposing the NAACP willingness to sell black folks out to the highest bidder. I tell you, this has been something that nobody have ever witnessed on this level. They had an election. They were so intimidated by me even running that they barred me from running in the election. Who would believe it? But look, before we get into our show, let me bring on area code 212. Are you there?
Oh, yes, sir. Reverend Pinckney, this is Sundiata Sadiq.
Hey, how you doing today?
All right, my brother.
Hey, who would believe this, man? I mean, nobody would believe the maneuvering that this the NAACP. And well, look, I got a call just the other day, and they was telling me, this is the exact word they said, man, they was talking about they paid, look, Whirlpool, allegedly now, this is her talking, this is her,
yes,
and this, look, you know, people believe white folks when they talk.
That's right.
So this is a white lady. She said, look, I was there when they was talking, and they was talking big money. And I said, what? She said, yeah. I said, well, would you give me an affidavit on that? She said, well, you know, that's something we all have to think about. I said, well, you think about it because I'm going to put it out there, whether you like it or not. And, well, I'm just taking your word. So this is secondhand information. A woman who may or may not give me an affidavit stating that they did this. But, man, well, listen, tell us a little bit about what happened to you with the NAACP.
Yeah, well, let me first say about monies that exchanged hands in terms of NAACP because, you know, Reverend Ben Chavis was a close friend of mine, and he became the head of the NAACP. And, you know, Reginald Lewis, who was the lawyer for Minister Farrakhan, you know, and began to do a leveraged buyout of Frito-Lay's, offered the NAACP $2 million to take Ben Chavis over, I think it was Jesse Jackson and some other candidates. And so Ben Chavis was chosen as the president, CEO of the NAACP. And you know what happened from there. But
yeah.
When I belonged to the NAACP, I was the president. And I was kind of different from a lot of NAACP presidents because we were militant chapters similar to yours.
Mm.
And in 2003, we joined with the Momia Abu Jamal Coalition, and we tried to get a resolution passed in Miami Beach. We got cut off by a guy by the name of Ben Andrews, who was a resolution chairman at the time, but I'm going to come back to that. And then we finally got a resolution passed in supporting Momia Abu Jamal, who was on death row, framed by the Philadelphia police, and we got that resolution passed in an emergency meeting. Less than a year later, Hazel Dukes, the president of the state of the NAACP, brought charges against our chapter and suspended us. That was 6 years ago.
Mm.
2 years ago, we had, not 2 years ago, but about 3 years ago, we tried to have another meeting with over 100 people to get our chapter going back, because we've been in existence since 1939.
Wow.
And she refused to do that. Now, it's all about what we call the Silver, S-I-L-V-E-R, rights movement. And when you look at these characters like the New York president, Hazel Dukes, convicted of, you know, robbery, and she didn't beat the charges, but she got her job back and became back on the national board. You got Ben Andrews, I'm calling these names. He was the head of the Connecticut NAACP, a Republican who cut us off at the pass in terms of Robert's Rules of Order and all that stuff in Miami Beach. He just got finished doing time for messing up $2 million in a union, some kind of union scam. So he did 2 years in a federal prison in Fort Dix.
And he's still with the NAACP today?
I don't know if he's still in the NAA.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard about him. And
mm-hmm.
But then we got James G. that robbed somebody of $50,000, and then he lost his law license, and then he got it back, and now he was reappointed to the national board. And you got Julian Bond himself back in the day, brother, when he was running against the brother in Georgia, John Lewis, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He was hooked up in that cocaine scandal with a prostitute bringing him drugs, that type of thing. But when you look at Reverend Edward Pinckney, when we read about you, here's a brother that's a freedom fighter, along with his wife, trying to do right and do those things that Jesus talked about, and they want to get put, not only put him in jail and frame him and don't care, but they found a way to get around certain rules and regulations in the NAACP, and seems like they want to liquidate that type of militant leadership that you were given to Benton Harbor in that area, you know?
And, you know, you're absolutely correct, too. What they did, matter of fact, we followed the rules. Matter of fact, we were right on top of everything that they had, because everything they requested, we gave it to them. So
yes.
That's when they got angry, because one of the things that, you know, that this is what they really hold, they said we're supposed to have an election in an even year. Okay,
yes,
but we didn't have it in an even year, but because we wasn't sure, because they told us, this is what the guy Gill told us, that, you know, since, you know, the office is for 2 years. And we took his word on it. Then when we found out too late, we had the election, which was for 2010. And they said, well, since you didn't have it in 2010, that we're going to take you over. But according to Gil Ford, who's one of
yes.
the protégés,
yeah,
he
I
said,
called it up. Yeah,
he, this is what he said. And maybe he didn't mean to say this.
Mm-hmm.
He said, if you have an election in an odd year, all you have to do is tell them when you're going to have the election in the even year. And everything will be okay.
Yes,
and we
sir.
Did that. But the point is, that wasn't their intention. Their intention was to get rid of Pinckney. They didn't
yes.
care how they got rid of Pinckney. They just wanted to get rid of me.
Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But I
yeah.
want to say this, brother. You know, I don't know. I met Ben Jealous, and I met some of the people around the NAACP. You know, Ben Jealous basically comes out of a progressive, you know, background. You know, his mentor was a guy by the name of Mel Mason, who was a former Black Panther Party member, head out in Monterey, California. Now, he and I stood we've been the only two brothers that presidents of NAACPs that stood to get a resolution passed for Mumia Abu-Jamal and other political prisoners who on death row or have been framed by the system. And so Ben Jealous and these people know better, man, but it's about the money.
Yeah.
You know, and then we look at the background of the NAACP and looks when it's who founded it. And now we're seeing maybe, you know, years later what's happening in South Africa, because The ANC was founded right behind the NAACP, and they were founded by middle class lawyers, academics who are only going a certain way with the masses, and they're not gonna condemn or work to better, you know, or hurt their class interests. It's about, you know, money, and you see what happened in South Africa where they slaughtered all these brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
And these fools will do the same thing in Detroit or Los Angeles. You know, it's not about law enforcement. It's about enforcement, you know. They want to enforce the things on the system. And we saw what the NAACP was involved with, Wells Fargo, and all them bad loans they wrote for black people in New York City. So, you know, we got our former, I mean, not our, yeah, our state president. She was a lobbyist for the tobacco company. And now if you go to a convention, you see Coca-Cola advertised all over the place, right? And
right.
So see what's happening in New York. They're saying that Coca-Cola and all these drinks are bad for you. It's making people fat. But the NAACP now is lobbying against that kind of, you know, and trying to support the Coca-Cola industries, you know, in other ways by having programs to educate people about drinking Coca-Cola and diabetes. They don't want to cut it out.
No.
They want to get money for a program to educate you about diabetes and these fructose drinks and those types of things, and they want to continue that money or write a proposal to get monies for the program, see? So this is what's happening. These are how these cats are making a living, you know?
Wow, and you know, you mentioned Ms. Duke and with the tobacco industry.
Yeah.
And the NAACP was in full support of the tobacco, the cigarette makers. There was a young lady who's going to talk about it, how they was lobbying for them. And
everything
that's bad for black folks look like they lobby for it.
That's right.
You know,
and I tell you one more thing, man. When we were fighting around apartheid and when they still had it in South Africa, we were trying to get out of the advertisement in the crisis magazines for those corporations involved in South Africa. And the hierarchy, the NAACP, fought us tooth and nail, the college students at the time. And when Nelson Mandela finally got out of jail, guess who they had sitting up in front row in New York with David Dinkins and them? All the NAACP presidents were allowed to sit up in the front row. And it's a contradiction because they were all fighting us, you know, when we were, you know, trying to, you know, deal a blow to these corporations. So it's funny, brother, you know, but
it is, it's amazing too when you sit down, and then the average person don't even know this information. They don't know what the NAACP stand for.
No.
Matter of fact, they sit around here. A guy told me the other day. He said, "Well, Reverend, could the NAACP be as bad as you're saying they are?" I said,
"Brother,
they're worse."
Brother. Yes, you're right, but check out. You got to check out some of these operations because they're having a struggle in Houston, Texas. Also, I think I wrote an email to look
up.
Dizzy Cofield, and see the operation that he got going in Houston.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, maybe I'll try to get in contact with him too, because what I want to do, I want to bring on all these individuals so we can expose the NAACP for what they really are. We've been giving them a free pass, though, because they're a black organization, and we said, let's give them a free pass. Hey, they will no longer get a free pass, because I promise you this, we are going to be all over them. I'm going to get as many people as possible to burn that membership card and do not renew it, because we're going to hit them where it hurts. Then they're going to have to go beg into them corporations for whatever they need.
In New York City, they co-opted the stop and frisk movement. It was started by people in the ghetto, and Reverend Sharpton, Ben Jealous, and a white woman, I'm trying to remember her name, they co-opted it and led the march. And who ever heard of a silent march when you're killing and shooting people?
Right. I mean, who ever heard of a march for? See, look, Ben Jealous, them, they're not Reverend Pinckney and them. They want a copy off of us.
You can't copy off of me
unless you're doing what we're doing.
Hey, look, I saw the reaction by the police when I was in Benton Harbor just by your presence on the street, brother.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like overkill, you know, to me. What was his name? He was trying to explain the Constitution to these people.
You talking about Chief Lane and Sheriff Bailey and that little group?
Yeah, Lynn Stewart's husband was trying to...
Ralph Porter.
Man, they didn't want to hear nothing about no constitutional rights.
In Benton Harbor, you don't have constitutional rights, they said.
That's right.
But I teach them that you better give it because you either put up or shut up. That's my message.
Yes.
You know how it goes. Well, listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. Then I got to bring on Ralph Porter. Whatever your heart desires, just say it.
Yeah, give my regards to Ralph because he's a cold freedom fighter, and yourself, brother, because you stand... You know, tall, like Paul Robeson said, the tallest tree in the forest, brother. That's how I feel about you. So all that love
man,
for you and your
that.
Wife, I love that, you know, because she's right
you
by your side.
Hey, I appreciate it so much. And I tell you, the thing is, even with the NAACP, they better understand that there's never been a fight I didn't like. A whirlpool, no. Now, see, what I can do now, I can use my energy to fight both of them at the same identical time, and that way I won't have to be spending that much more energy. That's how
yes,
I'm going to look at it.
Yes,
so
sir.
I'm ready for them. But, look, thank you so much.
And thanks for all those troops that we demonstrated with, too, brother, because it wasn't for them, we wouldn't have no movement, right?
That's right. You can say all that
right.
again. Thank
Free
you, man.
Land.
God bless you. Now, hang
yes,
in
sir.
There.
Free to land.
All right. Ralph Horn, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend Pinckney and Sundiata. I am listening and learning and loving it every minute. It's your job, educate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You are doing it. And one of the things that we have to understand, and I want everybody to take this at heart, if Ralph says it, you can take it to the bank.
I love
I'm
it. Go
telling
right
you. That the NAACP has been our enemy for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Not just recently, but recently you, Sundiata, and you, Reverend Pinckney, have brought it to people's attention. And Reverend Pinckney, you're going to find out people from all over this country are going to be calling you with stories of how the NAACP is a traitorous organization. Ralph said it, and I want you to take it to the bank. Ralph said it. You can quote me on this. And let me continue the story of the traitorous conduct in NAACP. Now I'm in New York City. I have been in education since 1957, and I'm going to give you the money story of America. Listen, the money story of America. When you buy a loaf of bread, you pay tax on it. A quart of milk, you pay tax on it. The money goes to the state and federal governments, and they return your money, your taxes, in terms of acts, in terms of highways, hospitals, schools, institutions. And if we controlled our education in the black community, as it is in all other communities, our unemployment rate would be the same as in white America. And they talk about unemployment in white America is high now. They say 9%, 10%, 12% in black and Latino America is 50%. Now, let's narrow that down to what that means in New York City. In New York City, the education budget is one of the 22nd or 23rd or maybe even 25th or the 20th largest budget in the world. It surpasses many nations. We don't control it. It is controlled by other people for their use. and that is in building schools, maintaining schools, buying desks, buying books, buying pencils, buying papers. You know the rest of the story. I don't have to tell you that here.
So, hey, Ralph,
let me get to the crucial issue.
Look, we got to burn this car. It's 5:30.
I'll finish quick.
When we struggled
for the control of that budget, the NAACP was against us. Do you understand that?
Oh, absolutely.
Now, when we tried to raise issues and go to our so-called institutions to support us, we found out they were employed. The NAACP gets paid annually by the New York City Board of Education to do what? I don't know. Do you know? But check it out. We all have computers. Go to the New York City Board of Education budget and see how much money these institutions who are supposed to support us are getting paid to be against us. So I'm just following up with what you were saying. Educate. And what is our job? Now that you're educating, you're bringing people on to talk about the stories of how we're being sold down the tubes. We must reclaim our institutions. And I'm talking about unions. I'm talking about churches. I'm talking about schools. I'm talking about every institution that we call ours is working against us, and we must reclaim them. The criminal courts, the civil courts, et cetera. And I praise you in terms of your bringing people to that understanding. We must reclaim our institutions, and I say to people, as you say, burn your NAACP card, burn it, burn your union card, burn your political organization card. People may say they're on your side. The Democrats say they're on our side, but what have they done for us? We give them our vote over and over again, and they give us butkus. They give us nothing. They give us pain, and we have our president who says, stop whining. Well, I'm not whining anymore, and I'm saying, stop asking me for your vote.
Okay, Ralph, I'm going to take about 30 seconds, I'm gonna come right back to you, Ralph. So right now, we got to burn our NAACP car, and this is everybody who's listening. Make sure you burn your NAACP card, and while you're doing that, you can listen to a little Tracy Chapman right here.
Right on.
Did that feel good?
It feels good, Reverend.
Oh, I tell you, it feels good to burn that cart. I see my board is almost broken. So many calls coming in, and I tell you, they made that commitment, and I'm pretty sure they did it. And we're moving on. We're going to have every single Sunday, we're going to have a NAACP card burning section. That's what I want to have. I want to make sure people understand how serious we are about this. We got to start holding these organizations accountable for their actions. Too many times we give them a free pass. You know what I'm saying, Ralph?
I know exactly what you're saying. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you're giving us, we're reclaiming our culture with Tracy Chapman. We're having rap with rhythm and education. So keep it going, Reverend. Keep up the good work. Keep bringing us these truths. And when we start buying our records and CDs and whatever, to let people know we want educated, and we're going to support those who support us through education. So thanks again, Reverend.
Hey, Ralph, and I tell you, you would not believe what happened this week. I mean, I was on the front
page. I'm listening and loving
Richard. I was on the front page of the newspaper every single day. Every day of the week, we're talking about an NAACP election, and they had my picture on the front page of the Herald Palladium, and we got all kind of things going on here in the city. We got the EM situation. We got the Constitution situation, but they want Reverend Pinckney on the front page so they can sell some newspaper. The TV station, everybody, I mean, I couldn't even go nowhere. They was all around me. They want me to make a statement. Then when I make a statement, they say the wrong thing, which I know that. Like I tell them,
right.
Even bad publicity is better than none at all. So y'all just keep on pushing. And they hate that because they really know that I really don't care what they say and what they write. So they don't like that. Ain't nothing in this world they're going to be able to stop me. But the NAACP...
Well, let me quote Bill Kunstler on this statement. He said there are only two types of publicity, and that is publicity or no publicity.
Mm.
So when they lie about you, they're still putting your name and spelling it right. So you be happy when they lie about you because you got publicity.
And that was my main thing. I told them, when people was calling, I said, the most important thing, did they spell my name correctly?
Mm-hmm.
I said, if they spelled it P-I-N-K-N-E-Y, I'm not mad at you.
Well, yes, that is very important. You got their attention. It's just like a mule. You got to hit them over the head sometimes with a 2x4 to get their attention if it's a stubborn mule that kicks. So we have a stubborn mule that kicks tremendously in the form of this government. No. Cynthia McKinney said it very well years ago, that you have no government. Your government has been hijacked. And Reverend Pinckney is out there trying to reclaim our institutions. And when we reclaim them, we will reclaim our government. So
hey, that's beautiful. Hey, I want to say Cynthia McKinney called me this week, too. She called me on Friday, and she just wanted to talk. And she said she had heard about the hostile takeover of the branch of the NAACP by Whirlpool and the NAACP. And she just said, well, I want to just give you a few words of encouragement. She said, don't ever stop doing what you're doing. And I said,
right,
you know that.
One more statement. A statement from a woman that we knew years ago. Her name was Roz Wiener. And her statement was, every day that you stay you as a person of justice and goodness, you have defeated the system. So you stay you every day, one more day, Reverend, and you have beaten them. Every day you stay you. Roz Wiener.
Absolutely. And I tell you what, I want you to take a few minutes to talk about Lynn for us right fast. And, you know, you could take 4 or 5 minutes, whatever you want to take is yours today. And then we're going to move on. And maybe at the end we'll get you back. We're going to be on a little longer than normal today. So we're going to try to work some things in so people can understand how serious this matter is. We have to tell the NAACP, Alvin Sharpton, and Jesse Jackson, senior and junior, that, hey, we're not taking this mess no more.
Right on.
Yeah.
Right on. And Sister Lynn will be glad to hear it September 9th because she is shut off communications with us because she was helping another woman inside the prison, and as she said, most of the women would not be there if they had decent legal representation outside of the courts, outside of the prison. And when they get to prison, Lynn helps them. But, you know, they put every regulation in front of her. Now, one of the regulations is you shall not have the legal papers of another inmate in your possession. While in prison, there are no office hours. You see people on the way to lunch, on the way to the commissary, on the way to the playing fields, whatever. There are no office hours, and Lynn doesn't take anybody's word for it. She wants to see those papers before she gets involved. And when she looks at the papers, that's a prison bureau regulation that she is breaking. So she was sanctioned before for 30 days for having another inmate's papers in her possession. And now she's got a 45-day sanction because she had, and this is the irony, a young woman who was a Mormon. And Lynn had sent a letter to me regarding the papers to memorialize the date and the information in the papers in case that the papers get lost, the papers of the inmate get lost when they send them. And it was to the local circuit on an issue, a legal issue. So Lynn says she has to send it to me because they may say, oh, the inmate didn't send the papers. The papers, or there were no papers, et cetera. So she memorializes it by sending it to me. But what happens is the rule is the papers have to be sent to the courts before they're sent to me. So Lynn asks the inmates, when are you sending your papers? And they tell her, and she sends her papers a day later. But one of the things she said was she didn't consider the reality that some inmates do not have access to letters, stamps, et cetera, envelopes, so they may be a day late. So the woman didn't send the papers out. She was a day late. Lynn's papers went to me, and the prison read every word. They were not about bringing the marijuana or the cocaine in. It was a letter to the circuit court concerning a legal issue that violates prison regulations. So Lynn is incommunicado for 45 days. So I would like people to send her just a postcard. Fill up that prison mail with the letter to Lynn Stewart, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, 53504-054, and it's 53504-054. It's FMC Carswell, Carswell, Federal Medical Center, P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. P.O. Box 27137, Fort Worth, Texas, 76127. Just send a letter, a postcard, anything. Fill up that mailroom to let the prisons know that you haven't forgot about Lynn Stewart. And the irony is that the Mormon woman that she did the work for's name was same as the attorney general who attacked her for supporting the blind sheik, Attorney General Ashcroft. No relationship with this Mormon woman named Ashcroft. And Lynn just says, isn't that something? But anyway, she's doing her work in prison. We must do our work out here. And we are working on Lynn's case, you know, step by step to the Supreme Court, the way we have to do it. But try to remember, Lynn, L-Y-N-N-E, Stewart, S-T-E-W-A-R-T, go to her website, and it has this address on it. And so, and as Lynn said in her last public statement, do not confuse my broken body with my mind. My mind is still strong. She's come out of her surgery. She feels better, and she has funny stories. And they're not so funny. She has stories that we learn to laugh about when you talk about the medical care inside the prison, but you have to, and she says, I'm not complaining. These are Lynn's words. I understand that people out of prison don't have decent medical care, and I, who have enjoyed white skin privilege all of my life, shall not complain because I'm getting treated unfairly inside the prison. And she knows why she does what she does, because she is fighting against this oppressive juggernaut of repression, and this is the penalty she pays for doing it.
Well, Ralph, one thing I will promise you, that me and my wife both will write her, and we're going to put that letter in the mail next week and make sure that she gets that, and I'm going to encourage everybody else to write her. But Ralph, I want you to hold on for your final thought. We got a little extra time today, so we're going to try to work everybody back in who want to say something. But right now, let's bring in Libby. Libby, are you there?
I am, and there was something just posted at bhbanco.org, which was written by Reverend Edward Pinckney. It is entitled, Is the NAACP Relevant? ? Here is the most important question people can ask about the NAACP. Is it relevant? My belief is that it has made itself irrelevant. By taking money from Whirlpool and other corporations, it has lost influence. It is now obligated to the corporate agenda, not the social justice agenda. And then we have a headline, Giant Food, Inc., which also could be Giant Food, Inc. I don't know if it has an S
giant
on it or
not. Giant Food Incorporation.
Is it an S, Giants, or Giant?
Giant, just a Giant. Giant Food Corporation, Incorporation.
Okay. In Maryland, black employees sued Giant Food, Inc. after several complaints of discrimination had been lodged. When the employees sought assistance from the NAACP, they were rebuffed. It was later discovered that Giant Food, Inc. donated $25,000 to the local NAACP in a successful attempt to squash their legal involvement on the side of the black plaintiffs. We have the next headline is Denny's. After repeated incidences of discrimination at the restaurant chain, the Baltimore chapter gave Denny's, that's the Baltimore NAACP chapter, gave Denny's the Corporation of the Year Award after donations were given by the restaurant corporation to the NAACP. I hope that makes sense. And so does Reverend Pinckney, I'm sure. If you look at a book called The American Directory of Certified Uncle Toms, that's an actual book, The American Directory of Certified Uncle Toms, this story is in there about Denny's. Next headline, voter ID laws. The head of the NAACP compared the group's fight against voter ID laws that have been passed in several states to the 1960s civil rights struggles. What a hypocrite organization. In order to vote in any NAACP election, you must have a picture. What
ID.
A hypocrite organization.
Mm-hmm.
Picture ID.
Mm-hmm.
The NAACP is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then we have Reverend Pinckney and his telephone number, and that's the end. And I think you may have something you want to add at the end of that.
Oh, absolutely. See, the thing is, which is more important, it's time that we start bringing these stories to the forefront. And even Faye Anderson and Dr. Bruce Watkins, everybody's now is talking about the NAACP. And their activity. We have to get the word out about the NAACP. Until we make them either put up or shut up, they're going to continue getting this money from the corporation and doing what they want to do, not what the people need done. And that's
Which
one
is
of the
nothing.
Things. That, yeah, they've been doing nothing for years. They've been doing the same thing over and over and over again, doing nothing. And it's criminal what they do to the people here. And And you know how Whirlpool is. Whirlpool went down there, went down and met with them and told them that we want to support the NAACP, but we will not support the NAACP under Reverend Pinckney leadership. And that, those are the exact words that they used. And now they're telling me that they was paid a $50,000 check. I want to find that check so I can make sure that what these people are saying is true. I don't know whether it's true or false. It's just something out there, and this person called and told me that, but I say, well, that's a lot of money, but maybe it's not a lot of money to a Whirlpool Corporation, you see, to get things done. But I don't think I'm that important. It makes me feel like a big shot now. But anyway, yeah, you know, I mean, they would go to this extent to travel down to the all the way up to Detroit, 200 miles, to make a deal with them to get rid of me. And here's the deal. They went out and purchased 250 memberships so these people can come in and vote against Pinckney. They went out and paid them. The criteria was that if you want a free membership, you must vote against Reverend Pinckney. If you vote against Reverend Pinckney, you got a free membership. So,
and you may have already talked about this, but they did have this supposed election this week that was not an election.
No, it was not sanctioned. And then they had the nerve, Ben Jealous that sent me a letter, but he'd been out on maternity leave. They done forced his name over everything. So, you know, we got to check this NAACP, and we got to make sure that they understand how serious we are about what we're trying to do here. But look, Libby, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires, and we got to move on.
Well, the next blog post after this one is also about the NAACP. So if people want to read more about it, it's a very, very good blog post written by Mary Neal.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you read some of it?
Okay, it's at bhbanco.org. And let's see here. Well, anyways, her website, and I don't have it here.
Okay.
NAACP election, the headline is NAACP election to ensure Whirlpool is given Business of the Year Award. A corporate-looking email is circulating. It states that the newly created Benton Harbor, quote, Leadership Caucus, unquote, endorses a state NAACP-organized election to oust Reverend Pinckney. People who made calls to Reverend Atterbury of this supposed leadership caucus heard that Pinckney is too much of a troublemaker. They want a new Twin Cities NAACP president, or at least their overlord, Whirlpool, does. And Reverend Pinckney's response is printed here, which is that none of the current membership will be attending the unsanctioned election. Now, was that true this past
week?
That
is true, very true.
Okay, so none of them attended, just probably the new members.
Probably one at the most, but you know, none of our 160 people showed up.
So it was a small meeting.
Yeah, well, pretty small in comparison.
And it wasn't really an election at all.
No, there was no election. They didn't vote on anything. They just put them in office.
Okay. The national office provided us with a list of memberships paid by check from Whirlpool's Marcus Robinson. It includes the Benton Harbor School Superintendent Leonard Seawood, Reverend Kenneth Gavin, Reverend Melvin Burton, Mrs. Alloyd Blackman, Reverend Nat Wells, Reverend James Atterbury, Mr. Corey Bell, and Mr. Jerry Price. That election was in direct violation of the court order. Only the $100,000 lawsuit was thrown out because the national office did not have the time to respond to activities of the state president, Yvonne White of Detroit, and Vice President James Gale of Lansing. It is alleged that they must have this election, which they didn't have, in August to ensure that Whirlpool is given an NAACP Business of the Year Award. You know, I'm not going to go on because it's kind of long, but I'll be real interested if they give that award.
Yeah, Well, anyway, we're putting it out there to let them know that we know. But look, you got anything else you want to say? I got to move on. I want to bring on Roz so she could talk a little bit. Then I got to bring on Mary, and then we can take it from there. Because we got some extra time now, so we can do a little bit. So if you want something, you got something to say, just spit it out.
I'm done.
You're done. All right, you going to hang on for a few minutes?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hang on. Let's listen to Roz. Roz,
hi.
Are you there? Hey, Roz.
Hi, Reverend Pinckney. I made the call for you on Monday.
Hey, appreciate it. We're gonna start the whole procedure over again this week. We're gonna punish them and let them know that who we really are, because they think that we them everyday people. We're not down. We're fighters. We're warriors. We're soldiers. But listen, talk about what happened to you at school, and I saw your complaint. They denied you, right?
No, that's from Los Angeles Unified School District. They're answering the appeal. Their lawyer and the school district could answer my appeal, and they lied.
Mm-hmm.
So they spent $2 million, $3 million lying from my admitted case from 2002.
Wow.
They
wow.
act violent.
Mm.
They don't do anything right. They, because of their negligence, they killed off Charles Smith, who died from being sprayed with the toxic chemicals from the fire extinguisher. 180 of my students sat in the toxic chemicals because they refused to clean up my classroom. They don't pay me. We've discussed that. So they said all these terrible things. They've lowered my rating. I don't get paid. They're trying to squeeze me, so I lose my house. I can't pay my bills. I don't have money for food. And this is their MO. And they don't follow any of the rules. They don't follow the contract between UTLA and LAUSD. They don't follow federal rules. They don't follow common sense, moral, or ethical rules, or even any of the school procedures.
Well,
and now,
you know that's what they do. So we have to get smarter and got to get bigger, and we got to fight a little bit harder. Go right ahead.
Right. So I will be speaking up.
Mm-hmm.
And it has now gone in, and I'm asking for everybody's prayers that – I understand that also this week they asked me to go up to Sacramento to talk about my case because Senator Liu, a Democrat, had put up this bill which just ruins it for injured workers. They're in the disguise of giving the injured workers more, they're going to take away more, which will go more money to the insurance companies and probably their bogus doctors and judges. So anyway, they got so many calls, like U.S. people to call. They have so many calls, so they stopped the meeting. And hopefully somebody with some sense and an honest person will stop these workers' comp cases that go on for years. It'll make them like PI cases and be over in a couple of years.
Mm.
You'd have to be a stupid doctor to carry on for 12 years and not know what somebody has.
You're absolutely correct, Roz. I tell you, this is tremendous. And you actually got sprayed by some chemicals in a classroom, and they won't give you disability?
No. They did
and,
for
I mean,
a while.
They've been,
and then
they've been fighting it for 10 years. Is that correct?
12 years.
12 years. Wow. That's criminal by itself.
It 12 is.
12 years. Wow.
Constitution guarantees a speedy trial.
Yes.
In 2001... the doctor said, a rheumatologist said I had toxic fibromyalgia from it because my muscles felt like mush after I was sprayed. I had terrible headaches, chest pains. My tongue was swelling. My nose was closing. I was having a hard time breathing. The school did not call the paramedics, no nurse on campus, did not clean up the room with the toxic chemicals properly, hazmat. They didn't do anything to my student, did not follow proper procedures, just left us in this room, in the stupor I was in.
Wow.
And I had several students that were sick, and, you know, I don't know what's happened to the students, because if they're sick, I'm certain they can't figure it out that it was because they were sprayed. Many times you don't know why you're so sick.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely correct. But look, you know that you got about 30 seconds to say whatever your heart desires. We're going to take a small break. We're going to have a little bit of extra time today, and then we're going to bring on Mary and everybody else who's on the line. We got a full board today. We got more people, but we're going to try to give as many people a chance to speak. But you say whatever you want to say, Roz.
Okay. Dr. John Stahlberg, that followed what Judge Gerald Cohen's medical diagnosis, and they lied, and they have their price. He also is sending ethnic minorities to death row. So anybody here in California that Dr. John Stahlberg's name was on any report, either contact you, contact me. Something has to be done because you can pay this man to write anything. And I called the NAACP, and I told them how wonderful you were and that you are a civil rights leader. You are well thought of across America. They told me I couldn't say anything because I wasn't a member, and Reverend Gil Ford was so nasty to me.
Ooh. Well, you know, the NAACP, they think they're in total control. They can be nasty to folks. But I tell you one thing. We're going to bring them to their knees. We're going to tell everybody to burn them cars. I'm going to get a count of how many people burned their cars, and then we're going to burn them again next week. And the week after that, we're going to keep burning them until they don't have no more members. That's how we're going to do this thing. Because
okay,
this is-
and then I called back, and I mentioned Charles Smith, who was a member, and that it would be wonderful if they could stand up and have a press conference for him, and they didn't seem to care. And I said he was a wonderful human being. And I said, you know something, Charles Smith is black. And I said, you don't even care about him. And I'm a white person that cares. And I just, when I said that, I was so mad at him.
Roz, this is not the comedy hour. You trying to crack jokes on us like he's going to care. Long as he paid, look, he's probably really mad. He's not going to get that $30 for that membership.
Right. Well, he told me that's what he's mad about.
Yeah,
I had to be a member to talk about Charles Smith.
I know. But it's going to be all right, Rob. Listen, hang on for a little while, and we'll give you some few minutes at the end, okay?
Okay, thank you. You are just a gift from God for all of us, and we think so highly of you. And you need your own group and bringing all of us together.
Absolutely. You are 100% correct. So listen, you hang in there. We love you, Roz, and I want you to make sure you stay focused and don't get sidetracked because, hey, this is a real war. This is no conflict. This is the real deal. You got
right.
me? All right. Listen.
You.
All right. Let's hear what Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Tiffany. How are you?
Doing great. How about yourself?
I'm praising God, Reverend. I want the Cab County Police to know that I'm sitting here with three phones. If they turn off one, then I'm going to the other one. And if they turn off all three of them, then I want you to go back to the house I told you about this morning and arrest the person. And I have a lot to cover, Reverend.
You got an echo, though. You got an echo in your phone. You got to get rid of that echo.
Okay, how's that, Reverend?
Much better. Go right ahead.
I just want to say that I'm sitting with three phones, and they cut me off. I'm just going to pick up the other one. And I got somebody filming because I'm suing the Cab County. I thank you very much for giving me 15 minutes, Reverend, and I want to just ask everybody to just hold your comments about what I'm saying until I'm done. I have a lot of information to back in a short amount of time. I thank God for all of y'all tuning in today. You're only here, I hope, because you care about human and civil rights. And those are nothing but another way of saying our God-given rights. Human and civil rights are nothing but our God-given rights. God made me with certain rights, and I don't care.
Hello? Hello? I think we lost her. Elvira, you there?
She got
Elvira,
called.
You there?
Yes.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Mary was cut off.
Yeah, she was. She'll be back.
I'm speak after Mary.
You want to speak after Mary?
Yes.
You sure you want to speak after Mary?
Yes, because I sent Mary my story, and she can tell it better than I can. I'm very ill, you know. And just come and put me in jail. Not jail. They just mugshotted me over something, a internet box that I purchased.
Okay, we got Mary back. Won't you hold that thought? Go ahead, Mary.
All right, sir. They cut me off of both phones, sir. They robbed my house and took my Cochran firm fraud records. They burglarized my home, sir, and the only thing they stole was two boxes of court records from where I sued the Jenny Cochran firm twice for defrauding our family in order to help Shelby County Jail in Memphis, Tennessee, get away with Larry's murder. The NAACP is instrumental in this. The NAACP members that were on the Shelby County Commission, and also this man named Julian Bolton, who was a county commissioner. I'm sure he was high up in the NAACP in Memphis at the time. Also, Ben Hook's nephew, who was Michael Hook's, was also on the Shelby County Board. Those black people, KKK Negroes, got together to hide my brother's murder when he was secretly arrested and murdered after 18 days of secret arrest in Memphis in a jail. The Negroes, Memphis is a chocolate city. I want you to know that these Negroes, these plantation overseers, they can't stand Reverend Pinckney. They can't stand Mary Neal because they can't stand the truth. They are on the job to oversee the plantation by Mr. Charlie. That is their job, and they do it well. They do it even if they have to intimidate black families that have had members murdered like I have. My brother was special. You can look that up online, com. Michael Hooks, who is Ben Hooks' nephew, was on the county commission at Memphis Shelby County Commission when they get together and decided to cover up his murder. And the United States Department of Justice in 2003 was an overview of the jail. A lot of black people have a lot of faith in saying, let's ask for a federal investigation. I want you to know from my experience that when they investigate a place and they find it to be in severe violation of civil rights, they put the U.S. DOJ over the operations, the daily operations, and that's what had already taken place in Memphis. But when the jail murdered my brother, the U.S. DOJ officials in Memphis got together with the jail, and they all covered up his murder together. And that's why I am the most censored person in America, is because the U.S. DOJ, under the Bush administration, helped cover up my brother's murder. They let the jail find documents. When you're under federal overview, you have to file monthly reports, and you also have to file an inmate fatality report for any inmates that die in custody. The U.S. DOJ wrote me and said they got no such thing about my brother Larry Neal. In fact, his name was redacted from all of the arrest records. However, they turned his body back to us, butt naked and dead. We didn't even get his last effects because however they killed him, they don't want us to know it. We don't know whether he was beaten to death. We don't know whether he was shot with taser. We don't know whether he was killed in a restraint chair. They were saving Memphis Shelby County from a lawsuit. And the way they ensured that was they sent their new boys. Oh, yes, NAACP is not alone. We have a lot of so-called black organizations. And also now, somehow, Johnny Cochran is bucked off, gotten out the way. I don't know whether he was murdered or whether someone just took advantage of the fact that he's dead. But he doesn't own that firm. You know the man is dead, has been dead about 5 or 6 years. What he did before he died were three things. He got O.J. Okay, and I don't like that. The second thing, he got Geronimo Jajega Tract out of prison. A lot of people don't like that. That was the man who was the Minister of Defense for the Black Panther Party. After Jenny Cochran got O.J. Simpson out of jail, he went back and got Geronimo Jajega Tract out of jail. And the third thing he did was in 2002, he said that he to sue the United States of America and major corporations for... He said all the railroads and all the telephone companies that use leased slaves to string their wire and put down their railroad tracks and make tunnels for the trains. He was going to sue every one of them. And in order to do that, he needed money. So that's why he was induced to sign contract with these southern whites. And they got his name now. And they are misusing his name to deport black people coast to coast. I know it. I have the documentation on it. I've been collecting people, black families, after the police killed their folks. No, not just mine, many of them. And I write it online. And if you please look online for Cochran Firm Fraud, those three words will take you to a number of these cases where they deport black families. As a matter of fact, they deported the Ramapoo people. That's a group of Native American blacks up in New Jersey. And it is hundreds of people that Ford Motor Company was killing with their toxic dumping on the Indians' land. And they were killing. I'm told that that tribe has almost no elders and no little kids because they were dying. They're most vulnerable to the toxic waste. And the EPA went in there and told them after many decades of dumping on that land, the EPA finally told them to stop. But then the EPA gave them 10 years to clean up. They went and did a little scrape, but they did not clean up. The EPA then did not do their job and enforce their order. They tell them to clean up, but the EPA was supposed to enforce their order and make them clean up and charge them fines to stay on until they cleaned it up. But the EPA did not do their job. Anytime the government has to pay out money to black people, that's a job for the Cochran Firm, because they call in their boys, the Cochran Firm, and the Cochran Firm helps the government entities avoid paying restitution to black people. That's their job. And also to listen to your cases and report back to their real bosses. When I got a lady to take my case against the Cochran Firm, she was on it for 2 weeks, and she came back to me, and she said, "Miss Mary, I can no longer work your case for the Cochran Firm." And I said, "Why not?" The firm said that we have too many senators and everything retiring from the government who come back to the firm to work, and we cannot take any case against the U.S. government. And I looked at her and said, "Excuse me, I thought you understood my case is against the Cochran Firm." And she cocked her head and looked at me and pursed her lips to let me know that's all I can say to you. I still didn't get it. I didn't for a long time longer that the Jenny Cocker Firm is a United States government entity. It is cointelpro in the black community. I just want to also, I thank you for 15 minutes, Reverend. Let me know when it's almost up, please.
Yeah,
I just want
almost
to let you know.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a little poem that changed. I was so tired of white stepping on me. I prayed, and things did change. Now half the boots encase black feet, but that still doesn't ease my pain. All we did, ladies and gentlemen, is traded white feet for black feet in these organizations and in these political offices. Now, I believe in looking at the big picture. This isn't a small thing. This is not just against blacks. They start at the most. I ask any of you to read Plundered. It's about trying to take away the country from the people. Read Plundered. I want to tell you real quickly that we've had another. I'm the director of assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill. That's another reason why they've suppressed my freedom of speech, because the mentally ill were the first people to seize private prisons. 1.25 million of the people in jail are mental patients, and they're killing them on the streets, and you know about those, but they're killing them behind bars too, like my brother. That they are spending probably I don't know what to have people housed around me in order to keep that suppressed. They killed a man in Michigan, in Saginaw, Michigan. They shot him 46 times 2 months ago.
That was ago in Saginaw, Michigan.
Saginaw, thank
mm-hmm.
you. They shot him 46 times like a firing squad, and the man was 43 years old. His name was Milton Hall. I want to give my condolences to Milton Hall and family. I want to give my condolences to Mr. Bobby Lowe's family. That's a mentally ill man that they shot dead in Decatur, Alabama, 36 years old, two shots to the stomach. I want you to know that I understand they're killing mentally ill people. And why? I also want you to know, sir, that Georgia is a very, very corrupt state. When I called the police about my stolen records out of my house, burglarized my house, and stole nothing but the Jenny Cotton firm case file for both my lawsuits against that dirty law firm. That's what they stole, sir. That and right in front of my records, I had Crystal Bates, a wedding present. They stole that, too. The way they did it is they have Quintelpro agents. They have people who will work their way into your life. This young lady was overvisiting my son. My son had to go to work. And he got a call to go to work. Now, this was really odd because ordinarily they keep our phone from ringing when businesses call or us with employment opportunities. Part of what they do to people who expose their dirt is they persecute them financially. And I'm sure everybody who has dealt with this sort of thing knows that. They do not let our phones ring when businesses call. They get messages saying that the phone is out of order. I was on Press TV on Monday. That's international TV. I wonder when are they going to give this up, and this story is going
international. Mary, you got 2 minutes. You got 2 minutes, Mary.
All right. All right. I want you to know, sir, that I want to talk to you real quickly then about the voter fraud. Cyrus called the voter fraud situation in Florida. The NAACP in Florida, under Bill McCormick, she observed fraud to benefit Jeb Bush. That was in 2000, and she told me that she evidenced voter fraud to benefit Jeb Bush. She said that the NAACP had her doing poll watching, and she observed busload after busload of Haitians coming in, and the NAACP was voting for them, and they were voting for Jeb Bush. And she observed many, many Haitians sitting around in Alfie Hastings' office, and they were registering them to vote. And then later when she volunteered for the polls, they were going to get all those Haitians who couldn't even speak English, and the poll workers, the NAACP poll workers, were casting votes for Jeb Bush. She said the same thing happened in 2000 in the George Bush election, voter fraud by the NAACP. She also says she observed a payoff. I want you to know that we have another individual that you talked to before. Her name is Yvonne Hickman. Yvonne Hickman received a letter that she wasn't supposed to receive from the Georgia bar. It was a letter that was going out to all of her attorneys that she is putting in a complaint at the Georgia bar about these people, because Yvonne Hickman is a black woman who was evicted from her home and banned from Glynn County, Georgia. She was banned and evicted because her husband, who was 100% disabled, said that she continually runs over him with her car. He doesn't have a scratch on him, not even dirt. But the lawyers took her money for retainer, thousands and thousands of dollars, so that she could get that overturned and get back with her husband. Instead of that, Georgia made her jump the broom backwards and would not let her live with her husband or take care of this mentally ill man. That's because she lived in an all-white subdivision, and they wanted that black family out of there. They knew if they could get this black woman, who was the bill's caretaker, out of the house, then they would be able to repossess the house. Forced foreclosure, because that left her mentally ill husband alone. What she got from the bar was a letter, and a letter said to the attorney, it said, we got a bar complaint from Yvonne Hickman about you, and what we'd like for you to do is just give any kind of cursory response, and when we receive it, then we'll go ahead and dismiss the case. So that's the Georgia bar. She gave me names and everything, but I'm not going to use the little time you gave me to call the names right now. But Yvonne Hickman got a letter that proves that. I also want you to know very, very quickly that they're having a rally on September 8th because killing people all over the place. The Malcolm X Foundation said that by June 9th, they had already killed 120 black people, extrajudicial killings. And by this time, at the rate of 24 a month, that was 24 a month, at the rate of 24 a month, they killed probably another 50. So the Memphis had a young, again, a mentally ill man, just shot down by police. They're having a rally in his honor and the other three killings on September 8th.
All right. Thank you, Mary. You did a wonderful job. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And
you're welcome.
I
have a lot more news.
I know you do. And we will hold that thought until we get to the end of the show. All right, that's Ralph. Ralph Pointer, are you there? Ralph Pointer, are you there? Or have you went to sleep on us already? Elvira. Elvira.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, well, let's hear what you got to say.
Well, Mary just told you my story, but I've started bleeding again from the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then yesterday they came and they took me to jail over the internet service that I ordered, purchased, and put in their house. And the people cut me out of it, you know, so I couldn't get on the internet. And so they had me arrested for forcing my name. What I ordered, I did it in December. They just come here in May.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, my life has been nothing but hell. I can't get medical help from any other hospital. And now the bleeding coming back to the diarrhea state. And I'm very weak. I cannot, and then they're talking about filing eviction on me on Tuesday, and I can't even pack my stuff. I can't do nothing. So that's where I am.
Wow.
And they took me, the officer was kind. He took me, the only thing he did for petty theft of something
mm-hmm.
that I purchased.
Yes.
He took fingerprint of me, mugshot of me, and brought me, he brought me back to the house.
Really? He just took a picture of you, then brought you back, no bond, no nothing?
And then they took me in front of a judge.
Okay.
And then he asked me, do I understand what petty theft is? And I said, I understand, but I didn't do nothing wrong.
Mm.
And so he said, can you afford an attorney? I said, no. So he gave me an application to get someone to help me fill out and gave me, I'm trying to get out of this house
mm-hmm.
in case those trucks come back
mm.
because I don't have nobody to help me do nothing. I can't even fix my own food. So, you know, I'm just praying. I'm just praying. That's what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
and I sent Mary my stories that I had written during the time all this stuff was happening. And I did give Hastings' office, Republican, you know, how you fill out the Republican, to be a Republican, they had paperwork.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They donated money to us for the Martin Luther King Foundation at Dixie Manor in Boca Raton. So I wouldn't
mm-hmm.
think of being, I witnessed a whole lot of stuff in Boca Raton, but it's so much that I can't talk about it right now.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
On the vote.
How come you don't call, Elvira, how come you don't call the NAACP in on this?
You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I thought I'll bring that up.
That's why all these things are happening to me.
Yeah, uh-huh.
I'm being denied medical help.
Yeah.
That's where all of this started with ex-President Bill McCormick,
uh-huh.
ex-President Roosevelt Waters.
Uh-huh.
That's how all of this
and
started.
It all started with the NAACP and all that crap, right?
Yes, and
how come you didn't tell nobody about this?
I have been.
Uh-huh.
I've been telling. I've been sending it out online. Seems like nobody cares.
But this is the first time I received anything. You know, this is my first knowledge about the NAACP being like this. I've been talking to you for months, and this is the first time I heard anything in reference to the NAACP. I'm not surprised at all, to be honest with you, because I wouldn't put nothing past the NAACP. And but you know the thing is we have to stay focused and know what we're doing. Anytime you're dealing with an organization that can be bought and sold like the NAACP, you have to be concerned. So I am very concerned about what's going on with you. And I just wish I had just a little bit more time, but I think Mary kind of like summed things up a little bit for it. But you know, but it's time. It's time that we expose the NAACP for what they really are. And once again, I want to thank Faye Anderson and Dr. Boyce Watkins for exposing NAACP and willingness to see that they sell black folks to the highest bidder. So that's, to me, that's very, very, very important. But look, Elvira, I got to let you go. I got to bring on this other young lady.
One more thing.
All right, go right ahead.
I protested them at the 2003 convention in Miami
uh-huh.
on no aid for the afflicted county on perception.
Uh-huh.
And then the media got a picture of me standing behind. Mr. Sharpton was coming up. I asked him, did he see my sign? And he just nodded his head and went inside the convention. He didn't even know I followed him. I went right behind him.
Uh-huh.
And there were three TV media guys on him.
Okay.
And he didn't know that I was standing behind him with that sign.
Yes, okay.
So this is why all this stuff is happening to me, and I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I'm in bad shape. That's all I got to say. But it's a lot more. Thank you.
Okay, well, we'll talk more. You get another chance to say whatever you got to say. So we got to let you go, and we'll talk to you soon. All right,
thank
now.
You.
You're welcome. Yvonne Hickman, are you there?
Yes, hi.
How you doing?
You are the man tonight. I am so excited, and I tell you, got a dynamite show.
Hey, well, thank you there. And the only person I can thank is the NAACP. I got to go beyond the call of duty and thank them, because I wouldn't have this much information if they had not tried to sneak something past me and tried to sell everything to the highest bidder.
That's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, the nature of the beast. You said the right word. The nature of the beast.
Yeah. Listen, I just want you to know that those people who have the email address for Mary Neal, Mary Neal has information. I sent it to her today. She's got some things coming in the mail. And they remember the bond that I had to get out of jail for? Remember that?
Right.
Well, I just got the bond from the DA's office, and the bond was forged.
Is that right?
They forged the bond. I'm telling you, Mary Neal got all the information. Glenn County, you know, I sued them all. And so the lawyers, there are about four lawyers, and they are crying the blues. And I have, what Mary was saying about the Georgia bar. The Georgia bar, that's why you can't get anything done in Georgia with the lawyers and the judges, because the Georgia bar allows it. And I have released public information, and it's bad. I have had to write a letter to the clerk of the court in Savannah about what's going on. I'm thinking that we just only got a problem with the magistrate court and the superior court. Well, I'm in the federal court now with a federal lawsuit, and the federal judge is crooked.
Oh, absolutely. That's what they do.
And he's so quick, and I had to write a letter to the clerk in Savannah, and Mary Neal got it all, and she's going to release it to the public, because that's what we love her for, exposing. And
that's right.
So she's got it. I'm going to let her just do what she want to do. I'm going to contact this lawyer who just committed fraud and forgery on my behalf, and I'm going to let him know that I have released my response to him in federal court and such documents to the public, so it won't be no shock to him.
Hey, that's beautiful. Yvonne, I just love your action. But let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How come you don't take it to the NAACP?
Well, we did that. We know the NAACP had this back in 2009 when I first got arrested.
And the question is, they did nothing, right?
Well, listen, in 2009, they didn't want to be bothered. Even the NAACP in Glenn County, Georgia, in Brunswick, well, remember, they are, I'm telling you, it's like this. When you listen, I like Malik Shabazz. I don't care what they say about that young fella. I love him. I remember him when he was young, going to law school at Howard University. He talked about black folks, and he just said around Trayvon Martin's house, he said point blank, if the Negroes get out of the way, maybe we can do something.
That's right. That's right.
And everybody is so busy laying on the back of the old Black Panthers. Them people are old and dead. And remember, I went to see Marion Barry personally. Remember?
Yeah, I remember. Go right ahead.
That's right. So Marion Barry comes out of that old civil rights thing with John Lewis and the rest of those shenanigan type people. But you got some strong stuff in Malik Shabazz. I don't care how you go about it. The fact is that he know the white folks ain't no damn good. And that's all that matters to me.
Mm-hmm. Well, look, you know, but let's not say all of them. Let's just say some of them, these evil ones. Yeah, some of them is no good, because
when you're
just like black folks.
Yeah.
We got some bad black folks too. We got, I mean, some
you
real bad.
Do.
Matter of fact, we got a couple of groups.
Right.
The NAACP. We got the NAACP. We got PUSH, and we got this National Action Network. We got that group too.
That's Al Sharpton. They don't work. But what I'm saying, what I'm talking about is, I have infiltrated the AAA, the KKK folks. I know where I am. I'm dealing with the KKK because ain't no way in the world what has happened to me and what Mary Neal has as proof. It's got to be the KKK because anybody else is gonna. And then the NAACP don't deal with KKK no more because they don't. You know,
they've been paid off to the highest bidder. They've been sold.
Well,
listen, Yvonne, I gotta let you go. You got 30 seconds. Say whatever your heart desires. Just say something.
I love you all, and you're right. It's not all people, but the fact is that we're talking about Nazis.
That's right. That's right. You said it all, young lady. Hey, appreciate you. We'll talk to you next week. Ralph Porter, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. And as
hey, Ralph, I thought I had lost you. I was getting worried.
No. Teach. Preach. And educate. This is what your program is about, and we must all be thankful for you. We must look out for you. And as Mary Neal ends with her program, send your money to Reverend Pinckney. Shut the NAACP out. Shut your local political party out. And support those who support you. And you're building a network, and we will support you because we know we all are what we do. You have been doing the job. That's who you are. The NAACP has been doing us instead of doing the job. And
absolutely.
They do us for those who control them. And we must throw out these institutions and the people who do not support us and bring in the institutions and people who support us. Thank you, Reverend Pinckney. You bet I'm with you.
Hey, and thank you, too, because it is so, so, so important that people understand where we need to go, and we need to go as a group and not as individuals. And
right on.
That's one of the pitfalls that we fall into. We got everybody, especially black folks. And here's the thing, too. Everybody can be a leader if we get out here. You know, they got this thing, the media pick the black leaders. You see?
Right.
And when they pick them, they're leading blacks. They're not really leaders. You see what I'm saying? They're just leading black folks or leading people. They're not real true leaders because all they're doing is trying to take a bribe. And I just love this what Dr. Bruce Watkins and Faye Anderson. They say it is time, black people, it is time that we start exposing the NAACP, Operation PUSH, and Al Sharpton for who they really are. He said if we don't do it now, it's almost going to be too late.
Judas goats.
That's right.
We've talked about Judas goats for a long time.
Yeah.
And we just have to begin to recognize who they are, and we must be very clear. We must name them, name the situation, because only that will be educational to our people.
Absolutely.
People.
Absolutely. And I just want to say the NAACP has lost their way. They have strayed way off course from their own vision. The nation's oldest civil rights organization is on the brink of extinction, defeated by its inability to evolve, a fact that no amount of rhetoric will be able to conceal. The NAACP has lost its way and is dying. The NAACP, in my eyesight, is dead. And here we got a report. We had 482 cars burned. So that's a fact. I'm expecting to be a lot more before by the time we get off. But so far it's been 482 cars that has been burned. So we're looking good. That's 482 memberships that they won't receive. And I want at least another 400 next. Well, I figure we might even get up to 1,000 before it's over with. But I'm just happy to say that. But I just want to say on this note that I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I think we had a tremendous time, and I think we had that extended time, which was good because we got a chance to do some things. And we just have to do what we have to do. And we're just going to put a little Tracy Chapman on, and I'm going to say goodnight to everybody. And I will see you all next week.
Goodnight, and love you all.
Hey, love everybody, and we stay focused and doing what we need to do. And let's take this thing to a whole different level. And let's listen as Tracy Chapman tell us. And she's serious about this. I just love this record. I really, really love it, Ralph. And then, you know, I even got your one, the fast car. I got it. I got it laid out just for you.
Right.
Yeah, but that's it. But look, I want to say goodnight to everybody, and I will see y'all all next week. Have a good night. God bless y'all, and let's keep it moving. I'm going to leave Tracy on for y'all.
Talk about it.